For the next 3 nights, Ramon again had missing time. On a few of these occasions, he saw the UFO coming for him, and recognized the familiar magenta, pink, and gold lights. He, his wife and family were all upset. Each morning, Ramon's brother had to spend the entire morning searching for his car. Ramon was afraid to leave work each evening, but he needed the job. He thought of the chaplain's assistant and the prediction he had given Ramon, that a time would come when conflict in the Middle East escalated, and Ramon would be taken on board. The Iran-Iraq War, Ramon knew, has been raging for 2 years. Israel had just invaded Lebanon. It seemed like everything the chaplain had warned him about was coming true. The next night, on the way home from work, it happened. Ramon was driving home when he felt his car taken over by a strange force. Suddenly the gas pedal, steering and brakes no longer worked. Something else was driving. They took control of the car, Ramon says. I had no control. The damn thing was going 90 miles an hour. It took me past Selma, past the city of San Fernando. I took my hands off the steering wheel. I put my hands up in the air until it stopped at the I-14 freeway. The car pulled itself off the road at the junction of the normally busy 5 freeway near Palmdale. A large glowing object was coming down in a falling leaf motion near the highway. The object had 3 large glassy dome-like protrusions on the underside. 2 other cars pulled over to watch the object, one on each side of Ramon's car. Pray for me, Ramon told them, because they're going to take me. Pray for me. The people prayed for a few moments, but as Ramon's car began to shake, he told them to leave for their own safety, which they did. Ramon was now alone. The UFO then landed about 150 feet away. The highway was now strangely empty of cars. Ramon watched a gray exit the craft. No harm will come to you, the gray told him telepathically. Have no fear. No harm will come to you. 2 other grays appeared right next to his car. They pulled him from his car, clamped down painfully on either arm, and floated him toward the craft. They had a clamp on my biceps like a vice, Ramon says. When they took me, they were dragging my feet, but then we began to float up. When I got up, to the base of the UFO, they floated me up, then they tilted me at a 45-degree angle, and I was going onto the ramp, and then my heels hit. They did that all under their control, and then they left me by the captain of this damn UFO. Ramon was angry. Remembering his training in the Marines, remembering what the chaplain's assistant had said, Ramon decided he was going to do his best to protect and defend himself. He began to argue with the leader. You told me you weren't going to hurt me, he accused the gray. And these guys did. I thought they were going to break my arms. Did any harm come to you? The gray asked. Yes, Ramon replied angrily. And they jacked up my boots. The tops of his new boots were covered in scratches. By now, they were inside the craft. The gray walked Ramon to the center of the room, which was rounded, white and brightly lit. No harm is going to come to you, the gray repeated. How can I trust you? Ramon said. Suddenly an opening appeared to the left. A young, exotic-looking, red-haired woman appeared in the opening, behind the gray. She was dressed only in a hooded robe, which she opened to reveal an attractive body. Ramon was shocked. Oh, my God. You're a female. The mention of God seemed to agitate the gray. Your God? Your God? The gray asked. Where is your God? Ramon felt that his spirit was being tested. Don't you see him? Ramon said. He's standing right next to me. The gray didn't respond. Instead, he pointed to the room where the lady had exited. Looking inside, Ramon was surprised to see a bed. The woman lay down on the bed and began to pose seductively. She was an extremely pretty woman, he says. She was a nice-looking woman. Curtains surrounded the edge of the room, which was lit with the familiar gold, magenta and pink lights. Ramon felt that the purpose of the lights was to relax and distract his mind. The gray led him inside. Ramon surveyed the room. I went to the circumference of the craft, and I pulled back the curtains to see if I could get out of this place to escape. I had made up my mind I was not going to go down without a fight. He looked back at the woman. Temptation was there, Ramon says. She was an extremely beautiful woman. But remembering his faith and his marriage vows to his wife, he refused to get on the bed. The woman never spoke. Instead, she kind of grunted and hissed. Ramon wondered if she was even able to speak. The gray walked in quickly and took Ramon from the room. Ramon was disturbed by the urgency of the gray. This is deception, he thought, and he kept looking for ways to escape. If he could, he thought, he would attack them or try to destroy this ship. He took me to the room where the control panels of the craft are. They had chairs in the like a dental chair. There were two chairs. And he was trying to tell me how to work the craft. The gray explained how the pedals and levers maneuvered the craft. Ramon felt, however, that the gray had ulterior motives. It was trying to distract my mind from what I should be thinking about. How the hell am I going to fight my way out of this? The gray led Ramon from the control room to another chamber. Ramon was shocked to see that the wall was lined with more than a dozen large, aquarium-like tanks, each of which held a full-grown fetus or baby suspended in a greenish-blue bubbling liquid. The tanks rested on a metal railing. As Ramon entered, all the babies turned to look at him with open eyes. The babies turned around and looked at me, he says. They were alive and they were breathing underwater. They actually turned their little heads and looked at me. By this time, Ramon had studied the UFO phenomenon, and he knew exactly what he was seeing. These, he thought, must be the missing fetuses taken from female abductees. When Ramon saw the fetuses, he thought of the woman who had just tried to seduce him. Was that lady one of these babies? He thought, and how long has she been on the craft? The gray seemed upset. So, then he took me out of that room to the middle of the craft where there were two additional dental chairs. Sit down in the chair, the gray said. The doctor will be here. The doctor's coming. Ramon was unable to resist, and he sat down. Out of the air, Ramon says, a tabletop floats upright to me over my knees and just stays there. On the table was a petri dish type container. At that moment, a taller gray walked in. He comes over and tries to put a cup over my genitals, Ramon says. They started to take off my shirt and unbuckle my pants. Ramon broke free from the semi-paralysis and tried to fight them. Calm down, the doctor Gray said. Calm down. Everything will be okay. He pushed Ramon back into the chair. Ramon felt a surge of anger. And summoning his marine combat training, he lifted his arms and pushed the Gray forcefully down onto the floor. The Gray quickly stood back up. Suddenly Ramon found himself by a half dozen more greys. The doctor gray told the other greys, hold him down. They started to push me down into the dental chair, Ramon says. And I was fighting back. The doctor gray then tried to place a mask-like device over Ramon's face, presumably to sedate him so they could obtain their sperm sample, Ramon thought. He saw that the doctor's fingers were twice as long as a human's, and appeared almost claw-like. Ramon lost consciousness. When he awoke, he saw that the floating table with the collected sample was being removed. The doctor Gray saw that Ramon had woken up, and began to replace the mask. Ramon felt himself losing consciousness. At that moment, a loud commanding voice said, awake! Awake! Ramon woke up and struggled to remember what was happening and where he was. To his dismay, he was still on board the UFO. Suddenly an opening appeared in the side of the craft. Ramon raised his head to see several glowing figures. One of the figures, to his complete shock, was the chaplain's assistant he had met 17 years earlier, in Japan. Next to him was another figure that took Ramon's breath away. It was, he believes, the Archangel Michael. Behind them, were four other human-looking figures with olive skin and glowing with supernatural light. Angels, Ramon thought. Awake! Michael said, speaking to Ramon. The next thing Ramon knew, he blacked out. When he woke, he found himself sitting in the passenger seat of his car, which was now parked in front of his house. Next to him, in the driver's seat, was the chaplain's assistant. See, I told you, he said, smiling. Go, rest. Still in a daze, Ramon went inside and straight to bed. When morning arrived, The chaplain's assistant was gone. Ramon's car, however, was still in the same place, in a spot where he would never normally park it. From that point on, Ramon's life was never the same. His faith in Jesus, God and Christianity became the primary focus of his life. He had faced the grays and prevailed. He didn't remember everything that happened. He couldn't recall leaving the craft, or how the chaplain's assistant had gotten into his car. Life marched on. After his welding job ended, he found a job as a school custodian. In 1987, he married again. He and his new wife moved to a new house in Palmdale, California. The very first day of his marriage and moving into their home, both Ramon and his wife heard the familiar whooshing noise. The exact same noise, Ramon says. The noise sounds very much like a stick being swung sharply through the air, or a rope, much in the manner of a burroara. Every time he hears that whirring noise, he knows the UFOs are around. Ramon continued to seek help. He connected with various UFO researchers including Bill Hamilton and Ann Druffel. He had the opportunity to speak with Travis Walton, and heard details in Travis's experiences that matched his own. His UFO sightings continued. After moving into their new home, Ramon and his wife decided to get some brickwork done outside. He went outside to check on the workers. "I look up," Ramon says, "and right above my house I see 8 small discs flying around, high up over my house." He approached one of the workers. "Do you see that?" He pointed at one of the discs. "Yeah, I see it," the worker said. "Look, there's a red light coming out of it." The other workers stopped, and they all watched the group of black objects moving in a circle over the house for about 5 minutes and then take off. Two of the workers became frightened and refused to discuss the incident. While the abductions seemed to have stopped, the sightings and strange events continued. One memorable incident occurred at Ramon's workplace. It was 7 p.m., June 26, 1993, and Ramon and the other custodians and maintenance crew had just finished eating when one of them ran back inside and said that a UFO was hovering over the boys' gym. Ramon looked outside and saw it. The UFO seemed to hide itself behind the giant trees located at the rear of the gym. Ramon asked the other custodian to go outside and get a closer look, but the man was too frightened. Unable to find anyone else to join him, Ramon returned inside. He had a long list of chores to complete. He found his CO worker, Maria. They were working the night shift together. They were alone in the school's main office, stripping and waxing the floors. So, when they heard a loud sound coming from the hallway, both of them became nervous. They checked, but nothing was there. Still, they both felt a strange presence. The very next night, working again with Maria, she revealed an incredible story. That morning, right after showering, Maria heard someone moving around in her house. She put on her robe and exited the bathroom. A strong wind swept through the hallway. Looking ahead in the hallway, she saw a small alien being. It was a gray, and it dove quickly through the wall. Maria ran into her living room. The front door was wide open and the gray now stood in front of the door. Then it floated outside to her front yard, went over the rose bushes and to the sidewalk. It turned its head, opened its mouth and shouted a word like, "Yeek." The being then stepped into the street, shouting again, "Yeek. Yeek." At this point, it floated upward and into a black-colored object hovering just over the street. As the object took off, Maria saw a red fiery light underneath, and heard a loud roar. Ramon was amazed. Maria knew nothing about his own experiences. Despite working together, the subject of UFOs never came up. Was this connected to his own experiences? He didn't know. In the mid-1990s, approximately, Ramon began to see a black helicopter flying around his house. "There are no markings," he said. "It's all black." For a period of months, it seemed like the helicopter was always there, flying by at random times. Then, one day while driving near his house, the black helicopter appeared and followed him home to his house. Suddenly a loud metallic-sounding voice shouted down at him. "You down there?" it said. "Come here. Stop, come here." Ramon, is it you? We know you're there. Come here. Ramon stopped the car. And I looked at it. It just stopped in the middle of the street, then turned around and boom, just took off. Ramon shuddered and returned home. The voice reminded him of the voice that used to call him on the phone, saying garbled words that he couldn't understand. On Christmas Day in 2004, Ramon and his wife drove down into the San Fernando Valley from Palmdale. They were going to drop off some presents. Ramon looked up and to the right and saw a disc-shaped object. Oh, my God! He shouted to his wife, who was driving. Look at this. Look. I can't, she said. I've got to drive. Ramon rolled down the sunroof and was able to see the object. It goes back like it's pacing the car. Then it goes back over the mountain range. The object was gone, and Ramon didn't think much of it other than it was another one of those UFOs that seemed to follow him everywhere. That evening, they drove back to their home in Palmdale. As they pulled into their little suburb, Ramon saw a strange light. It hovered above an isolated gully in the hills above his subdivision. Ramon knew the area as he had hiked there before. There was nothing there but rocks. It was like a big cobalt blue cigar, Ramon says. It followed us as we turned onto our street. We went midway down our block and it followed and went right over my neighbor's house, and it just rested there. This was the most beautiful bright blue-green light that I've ever seen in my life. It was right across the street, about 25 feet over my neighbor's house. To me it looked like metal, and on the outside, it was giving off this beautiful blue-green light. They pulled into their driveway and jumped out of their car to look at the object. I see it, says Ramon, and then boom, it just takes off. As he continued to research about UFOs and his own experiences, Ramon learned that other members of his family were also having UFO experiences. His grandparents, who were religious, believed that the experiences were spiritual. When the owl approaches you, they told him, curse it and send it back to where it comes from. When Ramon's aunt died, her home had to be cleared out and sold. His aunt was religious and many paintings of religious figures decorated her walls. The family received a surprise when they discovered that on the back flip side of all the religious paintings, there were drawings of alien beings. It was like she was leading a double life, Ramon says. As time went on, Ramon had flashbacks to his time in the military. Following his year-long assignment in Vietnam, he had chosen to work in food service. While food service didn't involve the danger of being in a grunt unit, Ramon had to wake up in the wee hours of the morning to prep food for breakfast. Now, weird memories were coming back to him of his time there. Often, while working in the mess hall, at around 3 a.m., a stranger-looking man would come to visit. He looked human, but not human, Ramon says. His eyes were very much elongated. He would always be in one of the mess halls at 3 o'clock in the morning. Ramon saw this same man many times. He knew something was going on, but he didn't quite understand, until one day, the man was there again, and this time, he brought another man, who also had the same odd appearance and strange eyes. Ramon decided to see if he could get a closer look. And one day, he says, I looked at the back of his head closely, toward the neck area. Ramon could barely believe his eyes. The skin on the back of the neck was not normal. In fact, it looked translucent. You could see like a pulsating gel, like the texture of jello. It was pinkish white, and you could see into his body. Ramon was shocked. The man's neck reminded him of yellow jackets in their embryonic stage, when their entire insectoid bodies are translucent and you can see all the organs. One of the men spoke to Ramon and said that the new visitor was his brother and was also in the military. Ramon didn't believe the man. Ramon now realizes that he was being manipulated. He now believes he was still being taken places by the military to meet with these reptilian-looking alien beings. I was being taken from location to location, Ramon says. I was taken to meet them. I remember climbing up the steps with them, following the guys into these big trailers. And these particular guys in there, they were military, but they had patches on their chest, emblems of eagles. Lately, I've been getting little bits and pieces of this back. I don't know what to make of this. One evening in September 2006, he saw an odd-looking light hover over the mountain behind his house. He had purchased a 3 million candlelight flashlight, and flashed it at the object. There was no response, at first. About 15 minutes later, Ramon says, "As I came back inside my house, I smelled smoke in my bedroom, and saw that my remote control for my TV had melted." In early March 2007, Ramon had just done an interview with the author of this book, one of many. He hung up the phone, and 5 minutes later, his three-year-old son said, "Daddy. The star was in the street. The star was in the street," says Ramon. "He walked me to his bedroom and opened the bottom part of the blinds, and with his little finger pointed to the street and said, 'Daddy, the star was in the street. Last night?'" Ramon asked, confused. "No, Daddy," his son replied. "When you were on the phone 3 days earlier, around 3 a.m., Ramon's wife woke up to change their child's draining diapers. Suddenly Ramon heard a weird whistling noise outside. 'Did you hear that?' he asked his wife. 'Yes,' she said. 'You left the window opened.' Ramon checked the window, it was closed. Ramon's wife went back to bed, but Ramon decided to read. Suddenly he saw a weird billowing smoke-like pattern on his wall. This was something he had seen before over the last 10 years, but only infrequently. Tonight, he saw the same thing, only it was much more defined. 'I noticed an outline of what looked like a 7-foot-tall man with a hood on. Thankfully, it eventually dissipated.'" Ramon doesn't know if it was a spiritual manifestation, or related to UFOs. All of his strange experiences, he was coming to realize, were probably connected. On March 23, 2007, Ramon went outside to put some soda cans in the garage refrigerator when he saw two star-like objects hover behind his neighbor's house. He grabbed his industrial flashlight and flashed it at the star-like objects. There was no reaction and he went back inside. The next night, while driving home with his family from the shopping center, they saw an object bright like a welder torch float down behind the same neighbor's house. The object turned to a blue-green color, and then into a black solid object and disappeared. "It made no noise whatsoever," Ramon says. "It was like it was telling me, 'You want to shine lights? Well, look at this.'" Over the next few weeks, Ramon occasionally heard the weird sound that meant the UFOs were in the area. Around this time, Ramon received a call from the Veterans Administration. They wanted to follow up on some recent dental work he had undergone. They told him they had found something strange on his X-rays, a button-sized, round disc-like object of some unknown source. They told him it was located below the lower jaw, right above the aorta valve of the heart. They wanted him to take an ultrasound so they could get a closer look. In May 2007, he and his family had to leave the house for a few days. They left the dog in the backyard, which was fenced in. He had enough water and food to last for days. When Ramon returned, his dog seemed sick. Her condition quickly deteriorated. Ramon rushed her off to the vet, but his dog passed away. "His dog," he said, "looked like he had been burned. His tongue looked all leathery. He blames the UFO. It came across the street and followed my car home. It showed itself across the street when I flashed the light at them. They were flashing at me, and I flashed back. But then they come and kill my dog. So, they threw the first punch. That took me away from the fear, and into the fighting realm. They brought out that old Marine Corps mentality. That's basically where I'm at right now. The fight is on. I know my dog is in a better place, but I'm really pissed off. These beings killed one of my family members. It's taken away some of the fear." On the evening after Mother's Day, Ramon was woken up by his son screaming in terror. Ramon checked on him, found nothing wrong, and soothed him back to sleep. The next morning, they both woke up with apparent needle marks on their forehead. In August 2009, Ramon emailed researcher Bill Burnes. Shortly later, Ramon heard the familiar high-pitched whirring noise, then saw the strange billowing white smoke on his bedroom ceiling. He called his wife, and she saw it too. "I was hoping it was not the beginning of an abduction," Ramon says. I hate to say it, but it was almost like Hell's Gateway. The smoke and all. The billowing stopped, but the noise continued. Ramon opened the shutters on the window and looked outside. Two very bright, cigar-shaped objects hovered outside. They were so bright, Ramon says, it was like looking at millions of diamonds with a bright spotlight behind the diamonds. The objects hovered for a short while, then moved slowly off and disappeared. Over the next few nights, he saw more of the brilliant objects, still high in the sky, but very bright. He observed one through his binoculars and could just discern the silver-gray metal of a craft. It was a UFO for sure. Suddenly, a memory flooded back into his mind. He was 17 years old at his grandparents' house and a UFO had landed next to the family's garden plot. He now remembered more of the experience. This was around 1963, Ramon says. I was in the kitchen area maybe around midnight. The outside of the house lit up so bright, my aunt screamed, "Everyone stay together. Don't be afraid. Be brave." Ramon could hardly believe what happened next. All the family members were frozen in place. No one could move. Then the aliens came inside their house. The screen door opened by itself and I walked out with the aliens to the craft by the oak tree. I remember floating to the craft. At this point, his memory of the incident ends. Still, even today, weird snippets of memories continue to come back. Even though he is now 73 years old, he still has sightings. His most recent occurred in January 2020. His son also saw it. Ramon remains fearful of being taken on board again. I don't relish the thought of seeing one of these ugly suckers face to face. I know it's going to happen to me. It's coming my way. Why God picked me? I don't understand it. You get into the grays, which I've seen before I even read about these damn things. I've seen these things close. I've seen them before, and I never want to be in an enclosure with them where I couldn't escape from them. In September of 2019, Ramon prayed to God to remember what happened to him after Michael appeared during his abduction. A voice answered, saying that his memory would be returned. As if on cue, the memories flooded back. Ramon remembered being on board the UFO when Michael commanded him to awake. Michael then turned to his fellow angels. Help him up, he ordered. The Greys tried to stop them when, Ramon says, Michael held up his hand and an instrument of some kind emitted a beam of light like a laser. The Greys stepped back. Take him, Michael said. Take him back now. When I turned round, Ramon says, the black chaplain and one of the other angels got me up and helped me to the door of the craft. I could see the glow coming off their chests. When I got outside onto the platform, I looked to my left. There were angels from the base of the craft all the way up to the mountain range, for about 1,500 yards. Ramon was amazed and in awe. That mountain range was full of angels. They were all in rows. Ramon was led down the ramp and into his car. The chaplain got into the driver's seat. Ramon blacked out. When he woke up, he was back at his home and the black chaplain smiled and said, "See, I told you. Remember?" Ramon nodded. "Rest up," the chaplain told him. "I actually got rescued and taken back to my home," Ramon says. "He saved my life." Ramon believes the chaplain was an angel. He believes that the Greys are essentially fallen angels, and that there is going to be a battle between good and evil over the fate of Earth and all humanity. Whatever they are, he says, they possess a very advanced technology, and are able to control time, space, matter, energy and gravity. He still wonders what kind of role the military played in his UFO encounters, and what exactly happened to him, and others, at the Bazalone Homes government housing project. We were one big giant experiment, Ramon says. I think what happened to us in 1953, we were just a big old experiment. It all ties together. Chapter 4, marked by the Greys get up and come with us. The voice was male, loud and commanding, almost irresistible, and 39-year-old Kim Kamen found himself waking up out of a sound sleep. Come with us, the voice repeated. We're not going to hurt you. Strangely, the voice seemed to echo inside his head. As he sat up in his waterbed and peered around the darkness of his bedroom, Kim received an incredible shock.